is our officially new clerk. She was our new clerk. Now she's officially the new clerk here for these monthly meetings. For those of you that aren't aware, we alternate hosting, and so this month is the county's month. When you host, you put the agenda together, and then you also bring breakfast. So, again, please eat. Otherwise, Jody will be trying to spoon-feed us breakfast for the next month. So take advantage of that. So kind of want to jump right into the legislative side, direct distribution. As we know, the governor was very generous in his budget towards local government, but the direct distribution sits in its own bill each session that we have to fight for. And so the direct distribution is sitting on the Senate's general file. So if everybody could please take the time today to reach out to Senator Kinski and ask him to support direct distribution. I've been working with Mayor Hall, who is the head of WAM, trying to exert pressure because this bill has been sitting on the general file for a couple of days now, and we're now in the point of legislative session where stuff's going to start to die if it doesn't move. So this is critical. I know the city uses this money for a lot of different things. We fund a lot of stuff with county projects, and it's very, very important to the town of KC. That basically allows them to pay for one of the two employees that they have. So we'll reach out to the folks in KC as well. But if you could hit him up and try to keep that moving and keep him in support of that. Second thing, I know that, especially to our newest Camino on the council, that crosswalks are very important to her and work that she's been doing. Certainly work that we're looking at and how we get kids safely across the highway up to the high school. And so there is Senate File 35. This is $10 million that is going to be available through grants specifically to get kids across dangerous state highways or busy intersections. If you're aware of the tragic situation that happened in Cheyenne last year, you had a young man killed trying to get to his elementary school. So this is up on the House General file today. So if you want to reach out to Representative Crego and again ask him to support that, this is money that we could go after for the, again, the high school project. If the city in your sidewalk inventory identified another area of great need, this is some match dollars that you could go after to do some safety enhancements there. So that is direct distribution and the sidewalk money. Is there any questions on that?
What is the $13 million was added back, right? By the
yes.
So we're at the full 26 that the governor had recommended.
Yes.
Which could change if they would just start considering it, right?
Yeah. You know, again, we'll be subject to amendments once they can bring it up. But we did have assurances on Friday, from Majority Leader Hicks that he would bring it up. And then they all started smelling the chance for freedom and tried to get out of there as quickly as possible so they could have a three-day weekend. So as Mike knows, you give them open the barn door and they don't want to come back, do they, Mike?
Yeah, give them 3 days to go for four.
Yeah.
That's what happened with them. Friday they got out at noon, before noon. And so they had Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And now there'll be some rolling in this morning, maybe. So,
could be.
Depending on weather and travel, yeah, it could be.
Well, it's all closed from here to Cheyenne this morning.
Yeah,
25.
So we'll just hope that Barry and Kinski made it back down there yesterday. We'll find out. But those are two critical things. The budget has essentially been resolved, and probably I think the clearest, and I'll look at Mike, is this the earliest they've ever gotten through the budget in your experience?
Yeah, it'd be close. Usually that's the last week to hustle and get that done. But They got it done this year because it was mostly saving and wasn't so much spending.
But there is one positive that I want to bring up in the budget, and that's WildLink. There included in this budget is a legislative fix to funding. And for those of you who are not familiar with WildLink, that is the interoperable communication system that all of our, whether it's the school district, uses it in their buses, fire, the mayor's got a radio with it on right there, law enforcement, certainly if we had a fire in the Bighorns, it's a critical system. We've been receiving these faux bills from the Department of Transportation telling us if we had to pay for it, what it would cost us each month. Well, the state has finally agreed that the system is theirs, they own it, and they need to pay to maintain it. We're still responsible for our consoles and our handheld radios and any enhancements that we make to the system, but they have agreed to include it in the regular budget, so it would become something that gets funded annually that we can fight for to make sure that it's fully funded, but that keeps it from being pushed onto us. They've looked at everything from putting a tax on telephone and cell phone bills to pay for WildLink. They've thought of everything. So instead of this falling on the county's and the city's general fund, it is in the budget, and that is really a positive thing. I know the city was watching the Bar and Grill license. That has passed and is headed to the governor for signature. I'm not aware of any issue that the governor has with the bill, so I think that should be available to you starting the 1st of July. There is a county component also in that, but we don't have anybody using the Bar and Grill licenses that we have now, so it doesn't really impact us. But I know for you guys that was something that you were watching, so that needs to...
You want to give us yours?
Well,
because we have lots of people.
You know what you could do is tell somebody to put their business right on the edge of the city limits. We could give them a Bar and Grill license, and then you could annex them in. And there you go.
We'll get creative there. Right? Do you know what the WildLink funding is? How much that was?
I believe...
I can look it up.
Yeah, it's in two tranches. So there is some one-time money that is going to be used to build out some towers and deal with some of the areas where they don't have good coverage. And then it's about $4 or $6 million annually to pay for that.
So I was just
wasn't Buffalo the first WildLink?
We were one of the, and we got the tower recently out at the, what could be the Wydot Highway Camp.
I know there are lots of areas where on EMS we're like, thank God for WildLink.
Yeah.
You get up in the mountains or way out in the tulies.
I was just wondering how much would be at risk if we get it passed this year. It's the 4 to 6 that every year we'll have to make sure we're fine.
Just like everything else, the legislature give it, and the legislature can take it away. But that is really kind of in a nutshell what's happening in Cheyenne. I tell you, it's been, I think, been positive for local government in terms of there were a lot of preemption bills that have died. There is... one of the WCCA's top priorities, which is the property tax relief bill, is still moving. And what's nice, they've increased a couple of the income thresholds in that in terms of assets, as well as what the individuals can make, which we think is going to help more of our seniors qualify, some of those folks that maybe have been in their home a long time, but also did some work to prepare for retirement. And so hopefully we'll be able to get some more relief there. And that's stuff that they can see when they start paying their taxes this year. There's a couple other property tax bills that are still alive, but all in all, the bills that are alive include a backfill, which we know, whether it's direct distribution in place of the food tax, don't always count on the backfill, but there's some good stuff there. Beyond that, I think cities, towns, and counties are going to get out of the session pretty unscathed, which is a good thing. So any
could you talk about how that backfill works? Just to explain here, I've never figured out in the last month or so why when there's this unexpected increase in property tax assessments and presumably payments, there was a windfall there simply because of all this COVID and, you know, everything else. That windfall was there, and that's why we're talking about a tax rebate or a tax break for some low-income people or whoever, all right? So the income goes up, but then they're talking about backfilling, and the way I understand it, the backfill is to backfill it as if there is no windfall. And you see what I'm saying? They want to backfill something that we're trying to figure out needs to be rectified because it was an unwarranted increase in revenue. That's why we're doing tax bills in the first place, right?
They are, Mike, and so and if everybody understands, the portion of the refund that would be available is the 12 mils that people are assessed on their property taxes. The treasurer can then go to the county treasurer can go to the state treasurer and get reimbursed for what is reimbursed to the taxpayer. That reimbursement comes out of the rainy day account, which is the legislative LISRA, legislative stabilization, something else, LSRA. It's a great acronym. But if you hear LISRA or rainy day, that's what that account is. So that's where the backfill comes from and what is in play. So it's when that tax relief comes, it's not for any of the money that people are paying in their taxes towards the schools, which are 72% of people's tax bill. It's not the special districts, which here are about 19-20%. Then you get your 8 mils for city and your 12 for county. So it's just out of that 12 mils.
But the 12 mils are bringing in a windfall amount of money, right? But that windfall is going to be replenished, and the windfall is going to be held harmless for the taxpayers.
I think if you talk to Carla, she wouldn't necessarily call it a windfall. I think she would look at what the county's experience is in terms of an increase in our inflationary costs, whether it's fuel, health insurance, input costs, paper, gravel. That windfall, as you would say, is eaten up pretty quickly.
All right.
But I agree, Mike. Something has to be done. So, any other questions on legislature? All right.
2 weeks left.
2 weeks left. This really, as I said before, is the point where if stuff hasn't moved, it really starts to die. And so they're getting towards the end. They have scheduled this as a 37 rather than a 40-day session, so they, I guess they could still use their 3 days if they wanted to stay in and offer a veto override of something that the governor does. So they'll get through the process. If they run out of days, the governor has a lot of days that he can evaluate bills before he vetoes them, signs them, or allows them to go into law without his signature. So if he vetoed something on the very last day, there really is nothing that they could do. Well, they've got 3 days that if they wanted to hang around and override his veto on something, I guess they could do that. Or they could save those days and call a special session if they wanted to, or maybe add them to the budget session. I think that's not out of rule, is it?
No.
You could go to a 23-day budget session with those 3 extra days, Mike.
Yeah, you could do that, but the logical thing to me would be to just go into recess this session instead of officially closing it out. If you have 3 days, you say we're going to come back in 3 days after, or we're going to be coming back to override vetoes, you know, and that then there's no special session that needs to be called. You just don't adjourn yet.
So we could be going for a little bit longer than the 2nd of March.
Yeah.
Could you set that back 10 days if you're going into recess? How long does it take the governor to veto bills?
Well, I think, I'm trying to think how many days. I think it's a 5-day window that they've got after the session is, business is done. But then in the 8th and 9th day, you could call a special, or call it back to order, I should say. And then at that point, then you would adjourn.
Use your 3 days there.
Right.
Yeah.
We'll just kind of play it by ear, but be prepared. We might still be dealing with the legislature into the first week of March. So, any other questions legislatively?
No.
I don't know. Is there, Scott, anything on the WAM side that you guys are still tracking? Or
I have checked the last few days. We get weekly updates. I'll look. I didn't check yesterday.
I think you covered it.
Okay.
The big thing was that direct distribution. We were getting encouraged to tell them to get stonewalling and get going.
And I think probably what's going on is that there's something in the House that the Senate is tracking, and they're not going to move direct distribution until the House moves one of their priorities. Is kind of a tit for tat. Legislate. All right, last call for discussion on the legislature. Next up, Bighorn National Forest. I believe the city has submitted or is going to submit comments on the Pole Creek Vegetative Management Plan. Is that...
So I missed that meeting, but I did get a call from the chamber saying, hey, can we see the letter that you guys have written? And I said, oh, are we ready in the letter? So I think we are. I just need my marching orders.
Okay. Just as a reminder, those comments are due today.
Okay.
So if the mayor and the council could give Julie marching orders pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
Joko submitted a letter. No, the mayor and I were involved in the back and forth on that. The county's letter went in last week because I moved the deadline up in my head, so Jody hustled and got it in. But also remember that you can submit individual comments. So if you, as a councilman or a commissioner, would like to, or the clerk or the public would like to put in individual comments on that plan, please do that. It's critical to our travel and tourism industry. That's a great recreation area. We love timber. We like to see timber harvested, but maybe just not right there.
I've had quite a few calls from concerned citizens about the Polk area, and the Bighorn Mountain Coalition is coming down on the side of the recreation users.
I believe when they presented that, she said that it would only, if they left that out, it would only impact about 3% of their project.
If that. Yeah.
If that, and 100% of.
We're going through the arithmetic at the city council meeting last time, and I think it was almost 1% or 2% of the whole acreage.
Yeah, that actually has the
So that the rest of it, there's no argument about. So to me, it's a no-brainer for the Forest Service to say, okay.
Just play nice.
Yeah.
We just can't contradict ourselves if we're... I mean, we have some agreement with Forest Service, so I need to make sure. I got work to do today.
I believe Thad Barrett is coming to the commissioner's meeting today, so Counselor, you're always welcome to come and sit in and hear what he has said. And if he's going to come speak to the council tonight as well. Or okay. Well, he'll be there. If you have questions that you'd like us to ask him before then, just let me know and we're happy to do that. But again, those comments are due today, so if you want to get those in. One of the things that I was also alerted to is that the Bighorn National Forest is going to do its plan review in 2024. So, Commissioner Perry, what a fun thing to do. And the forest plan revision is a process that they do. They're supposed to do about every 10 years. I think the last plan revision took 3 years, is what Commissioner Wolf from Washakie County told me. But that's what we'll lay out where they want to see camping. I know there's been a lot of work on dispersed camping, how much timber should be harvested, grazing permits, cabin locations. We've got a lot of forest cabins that are on permit up there. So, city, please get that on your radar for 2024 and that plan revision and being involved in that process, providing comments through all of it, and we'll really look to Commissioner Perry and also the Bighorn Mountain Coalition, which is the four counties that have Bighorn National Forest, to kind of lead the effort on that. So
we're having a lot of trouble with the Forest Service agreeing to things and then backing out at the last minute.
Are you filling that in specific to dispersed camping or other stuff, Bob?
Specifically to dispersed camping and adding different campsites and different things like that. But they were all in favor of a lot of it, and then they came back down with their Forest Service mandate and left 90% of it out.
Any other questions on Bighorn National Forest? Any areas of concerns from any of the council or commissioners? All right, 1%. I'm going to look to our clerk and our commissioners. The application period has closed, is that correct?
No, it closes February 28th.
Okay.
We have 3 applications in so far.
And I probably have 5.
The airport board has one that they were finishing up on.
And especially because we've got some new folks, will you remind us what our schedule looks like that? So it's going to close, and then when, if we have any idea when the committee's going to meet.
I haven't contacted them yet. I thought I would wait until the period closes, and then I would contact the committee to see when they could meet. Preferably sometime in March, because don't you approve in April?
Typically.
Yes.
Yeah, our approval actually goes through the whole budget process, but we get the recommendations, and then council kind of passes it in conjunction with the entire budget. The commissioners typically have approve that pot of money on its own, standalone, before your regular budget season.
Now, at some point, the city and the county, or maybe the county only, but they settle on a total amount that could be distributed, and that hasn't been done yet, I don't think. But it seems like maybe that would be something to talk about. Before the this lay board starts looking at it.
And so, Mike, that's a really good question. So we do usually in March.
Right.
Carla will come in and give us an estimate on how much 1% money that she projects will be collected before the end of the fiscal year. And then we set aside a portion of that for the committee, and then a portion of that for the county requests. Mm-hmm. And so we will probably act on that either at our meeting on the, is it the 7th?
Yes.
The first, yeah, that would work, I think. If you had it then, that way they could meet. they know what they're talking about. You know, if they have X number of dollars, that helps. At least it was when I was on that board.
Is there kind of a rough estimate yet at this point on what the city thinks they're going to allocate to the committee?
No, there has been no discussion. No. But we do also pass a resolution of how much we're going to give to the committee. Mm-hmm. I'll pull the numbers together for council to... I'll give you some history from what we've done in the last few years.
Right.
And we had at one point done an informal agreement that up to 25% of the collections, and that's the decision that you make, would go to the committee.
Okay, well, we'll have that discussion probably the first meeting for us, too, in March, right?
I'll have that resolution prepared, and you guys can always change the number, but...
Okay.
Anything else on 1%? I believe all the committee seats are filled.
The city has one more, so if you know somebody who's interested...
Seth Taylor said he'd like to sit on.
Oh, hi, Seth.
Just kidding.
Nothing else. 1% JCTA, and I don't know who asked for that to be put on, or if Jody wanted to share something, or if Mike and Bob want to update us on where they're at, or
I can give you an update on where the county stands on it. In our last meeting, we agreed to let the JCCA operate as is with some oversight, make sure that things were going to get done and were done correctly. Other than that, we're backing off.
And the city did get an update at the last two council meetings. We've gotten updates from JCPA. And are the commissioners having an update today? Do they have that on the agenda or not today?
I believe we are.
Yes, we are. Yeah. It's to revise their last year's 1% request and to introduce their new administrative.
Well, Bob and Mike, thank you for your work on looking at how other counties in municipalities set up their tourism board, and it was a good process, I think.
Yeah, and it's kind of intertwined with the Chamber of Commerce. You know, that's one thing. I don't know how well that's understood, but I'm a liaison for the Chamber of Commerce now, and yesterday we had a job interview. Actually, three of them were scheduled for yesterday, and we've got a good candidate. Well, we had more than one good one, but one that was exceptional to take the place of the membership director that is moving back to Iowa for some reason. They're moving back to Iowa. Well, anyway, I think the chamber, the last I talked about this to the chamber, was that they think that they're not ready to do much intermingling with the Johnson County Tourism Association. It's a little disappointing for me. I think that those two organizations are taxpayer dependent to one degree or another, and it just makes sense that they cooperate by sharing office space or sharing personnel or doing something like it used to be done for at least 20 years before. And now it appears that the JCTA is going to hire their own administrator and rent their own building or own office space or something. And I haven't figured out if it's because the chamber doesn't really want them, or they're not ready for them yet, or what it is, but that's something that'll be on the burner for a while, I think.
I can address that if you...
Please.
So we did hire someone, and I'll have her both at County Commissioners and City Council today. It's Kristen Degelard, who's been in the community for quite some time. As far as office space, our first choice was to reach out to the chamber. They do not have space for us unless they were to shove us down in the basement where the storage is, and that's not really what we want for an office space or for our admin person. So we have had to look outside of the area, and we have some options that we're looking at, and we have a board meeting today. Hopefully we'll have an answer on where that office space is going to go, and where we're going to be set up. But the chamber has plans for their space to get back where they were, and they just don't have room for us. So that's why we've looked in other directions.
Thank you, Jerry.
Mike, does the chamber have a full board, and how are they looking financially?
Well, they're cash flowing. They are doing that, but they don't have quite enough funds to do any restoration to the point that they had, you know, were in prior to 2018 or thereabouts, 2019. They're not back to that point, but it will cash flow now with memberships, providing these memberships continue, you know, and add on. And I think in the last few months they've added 60 memberships or something like that, if I'm not mistaken. But you know, I guess they certainly need additional help to go that extra distance, like for tourism. And the summer, they usually have some, or during the tourism season, they usually have some people working there in the office to handle people that, you know, that come in and want to know about Buffalo and that kind of thing. So that's kind of what they're doing. They've got a remote visitor information center out east of town, I guess I'd call it. And instead of the chamber doing that, they're going to sublease it to the Johnson County Tourism Association. So they're going to be hiring people, and you know, that's just what's set on the table right now. And I kind of worry about whether we're growing two offices when one office could probably do a better job if they were cooperating. But it's the way it is, and I don't know what else we can do about it right now.
Mike, I don't know if you know the answer to this, but there's kind of another group that's sprung up, this Buffalo Business Exchange, that meets, I think, once a month. Is the chamber participating in that?
I'm not aware of that at all. I'll have to talk to you about that.
Yeah, because I think it's the businesses. I mean, there obviously there's some need to exchange some ideas or to, you know, how they're going to work together. And so I just think that was probably a duty or a responsibility at one point of the chamber, I would think.
Going about a year ago, didn't it, Julie?
What's that?
Didn't that pop up about a year
ago? Yeah.
It's on
Tuesdays.
Normally on Tuesdays, I think it's 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
So it's supposed to be today, but I did see a Facebook thing, weather's coming in, so they pushed it off till next week. What I don't like about that is that it is right before our city council meeting, so it makes it hard if we were to attend.
Yeah.
They started at 1 o'clock, which worked good. They were with lunch there, but now
they're usually in the basement of AMB Bank, I think.
Brian Whitlock at the Farmers Agent is one of them.
That's the same place that Tourism Association is also.
I'm on the email list for them. I'll forward it to council if I get anything from them.
And I can interject again there. So Pam with the chamber has been attending those meetings. And yesterday at the interviews, Jennifer and I and Bonnie, one of the board members, were talking about that. And I think the plan originally for the Buffalo Business Exchange was the chamber was shut down, and so this group started. And then the plan was, once the chamber opened, to roll that into the chamber. Yeah. But something has changed, and they've decided not to do that. I don't know exactly why not, but I know Pam has been attending those meetings.
Okay.
That's probably a territorial thing.
Not that there's any bad one.
Yeah,
there's
a little.
On the spot.
I love how he sugarcoats everything.
Yeah.
Better there with the Crystal Sugar Factory.
That's right.
Any other discussion on JCTA? So the next item would be just open to members of the council or the commissioners, if anything. So, Councilman Madsen, anything this morning?
I think the only one, I've been going to the skilled nursing construction updates, but that's basically winding down the final approval. They're hoping to be open here in another couple months after all their regulatory approvals from everybody. Now, I'm not sure if the veterans home itself, if the rebuild has been bid or not. I heard from one person that they're working for Andrine now, Sheridan. They had a 3-month project up in Buffalo, or a 3-year project, and it sounded like that project, but I hadn't heard it was up for bid yet. So,
no, I don't believe the Department of Health has even put out an RFP on that yet.
But I know they've got the current facility rebuilt was authorized last year with the level 3 funding plans and design. It's going to start soon. So,
I think probably, Scott, the biggest holdup is going to be that part of that funding is also contingent on the Veterans Affairs grant.
Yeah,
and so
they got to wait till the grant gets approved. Like, the skilled nursing was, 6 months behind because they had to wait on the feds to release the funds. So that's probably what they're waiting on. So, that was the only update on that. That it will be progressing sometime later this year when funding and bids are secured. So that'll be a nice long project, $70 million, I think, or something, for that rebuild. A little bit of income into the community.
It'll probably get approved the same time the Bull Creek Reservoir does.
Is this facility going to be in Buffalo or?
Oh, this is the existing facility. They're going to remodel and update and add on. And
$70 million
or something. It was approved by the to the legislature.
You may need to get that 80s.
And only paid a 30, or the state pays 35 and the fed pays 65%. But they're doing quite a bit to update it.
Mike, it was in the, when I think you were in the legislature, you authorized the study of the 5 state facilities. So you've now done the repairs to the State Hospital, the Life Campus Center. Mm-hmm. This would then be as part of that long-range plan. I don't think that it's probably this year. I'd say it's probably 3 years out, and that would be optimistic. But the legislature did, in last year's budget, set aside their match dollars to the federal grant, and those funds can be slow to develop, or they can come very quickly, depending on other states' projects and how the pool of VA funding is available.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else, Scott?
That was all.
Commissioner Perry.
I have nothing but comments.
Oh, we'd love to hear your comments.
I just kind of throw them in every once in a while.
Councilman.
Yeah, I would like to know. I don't know about this. I don't know what the intricacies are. But these, we didn't approve of this gambling casino over there in the old Best Western, did we? As a city, that is city property.
It hasn't now, come to the city yet.
Is it going to? It looks to me like, you know, I was looking at them plans. It's a regular casino they're opening up. And did you guys do that, or what? How did you have any choice, or
so what? We were approached by the, is it Wyoming Downs or?
Wyoming Downs.
We were approached by Wyoming Downs. Initially, we did turn their request down. And then they were able to address the concerns that the sheriff and Chief Bissett had about their operations. So ultimately, they did get site approval from us.
So now they're working with the building inspector and our planning department.
Right.
Following the process there.
It's just a done deal. We're going to have that casino in town then.
Not necessarily. They still then have to get their approval from the State Gaming Commission to get those machines. And statute spells out how many machines they can have and some other components of it.
Well, I just really question the wisdom of it. But, you know, I used to live in South Dakota, and I saw how things went to hell after they got gambling casinos there everywhere on the streets. And we're going to have the same kind of problems that South Dakota had suffered with for decades. And there's just nothing you can do about stopping them. After you get them started, it's a big community cancer, I guess I'd call it. These are, you know, like say it's Wyoming Downs and they're horse racing. Well, if you go into one of those places and look at it, it's just a video lottery machine. That's all it is, and it's not good. But
and Mike, then what's your feeling on the businesses within the city limits that have skill games?
I'm not very tickled with them either, but when we move this next step to a regular casino, I saw a picture of it that our planner had sent to us. There, it looks like there's 30, 40 machines in there. That's more than machines than you can get into a casino in Deadwood. So, you know, hopefully nobody will go in and use them, but I know that's not the case.
Well, there's a recent Supreme Court decision actually involved Campbell County, and the legislature is going to have to go back into the statutes because it appears that once a facility is approved, that there is nothing in statute that allows it to be their license canceled or revoked.
Well, of course not. I'm sure that's the case. Well, that's all I have.
Okay. I don't have anything. I've probably talked too much. Mr. Mayor.
Got nothing.
Madam Clerk.
Is there any interest in, I'm thinking of the weather. We've had horrible weather this year, and nobody knows, like, the city offices might close or the county offices might close, and then you have Marilyn Conway, and I had no idea you did this, and coordinating all of this, it's confusing to the citizens. So
yeah.
I don't know how we start that process, but I wonder if we should. I hear other communities that it's a level. I don't know how involved we need to go. I mean, you could take one little thing, like, let's work together and decide when we're going to close or not going to close.
Yeah.
Or we can do the whole tabletop exercise that this triggers this, that triggers. I just know that we should. The school's doing their thing, and everybody's doing something different. I don't know how that process goes or who starts that, but I see a need for it.
I can take part of the blame for that one. Last time I closed, you know, we should have let Bill or one of the commissioners know that I was in a closed city also. I think open communication between us is a start.
And we send everything out on Code Red. Whenever we're in a closed facility, it goes out on a Code Red alert. And that would be one way to coordinate. So more, not everybody gets Code Red, but more people than not get it. And at least it'll be advertised, be put out there that we're closing the facility.
And we've adopted a policy, and so typically either the emergency management coordinator or the road and bridge supervisor make the recommendations to one of the commissioners, and then they sign off on it. I don't know how your process works, if it's just the poor mayor has to make the call, or if Les or somebody says, hey, streets are looking pretty bad, better get people off of them, exactly how you guys do that.
That's kind of how it works.
Well, it might be PD.
Well, I think because in the city, those are the exact people that can't go home, Public Works and PD.
Yeah.
So they're busy just keeping everybody moving and all that, and they're probably not thinking about, are people need to get home, or are we going to just keep them overnight here? What's going to happen? Like, the school is always mindful of, is it, when's the best time? Do we wait out the storm, or do we get them out of here by? The thing with Code Red, by the time we get that call, you know, we should probably know a little in advance so we are sending the same message. It just is hard for people to, if they can't go here, then they think they should go here, rather than just stay home. Well, the courthouse is closed, but I can still go into City Hall and pay my water bill. When, no, you should drive home and get home.
No, that's a good point you make. I think, you know, if the chairman of the commission would tell the mayor, or vice versa, you know, we just got to close right now. And, you know, I guess the impetus would be that, well, if they're closing, we better close too. Or, you know, there might be other extenuating circumstances where that may not be necessary, but I agree we shouldn't be confusing people by saying, well, City Hall's open, but the county courthouse is closed, or vice versa. I'm not saying that that could never happen, but at least people would have a... Usually when the county commission says, it, you know, we're going to have to close, you know, it's not a deal in the city where, oh, God, we're not closing. We like this, you know, or it's not that bad here. It should, if they know about it, then, you know, the mayor can do what he says needs to be done, and whether or not the county has also done it should weigh somewhat on what the other entity is doing.
I think you know, myself and the chairman can work on it.
Well, thank goodness for Facebook, because that's where I saw the county was closing at noon, so called the mayor and said, what are we going to do?
Okay,
that's all I had.
Perfect. Councilman Camino.
Let's go.
Councilwoman.
Yeah, Councilman.
Sometimes they don't want the...
It's, but it confuses me.
Council person, whatever she wants to.
I was looking around for general papers.
Mr. Shelley, anything this morning? Clerk Camino. I have a lot of comments.
What I want to say is back to what Julie was talking about. I didn't know what was going on. I came out of a meeting and Dave was there and said, we're closing. But the next day, Marilyn came to see me and she said, by the way, I don't know if anybody's told you, all the commissioners are out of town. You're it. So, guys, don't do that to me. I don't want that deer in the headlights look.
You're the designated survivor.
Yeah.
Everybody's out of the county.
You go ahead and take the shot across the bow, and it'll be all right. Yeah,
she gave me a little education, and she goes, well, there's a method around a committee that forms that you're a part of. Okay. That's a little better. Thanks for clarifying.
Oh, I see incident command training coming up
right now.
Yes. That'll be on her checklist for this year. as well as for Commissioner Shelley Stone. All right. Jody, thank you for a wonderful breakfast. Anything on your list we need to...
No. I don't have anything to share. Okay.
Not that I'll call you your letter, but could I get a copy of...
I'll send it to you
so I know who it's going to, and I'll get that.
Yes.
And I love that, too, because I want to send it to you.
Okay.
I don't understand.
Okay. You bet.
Any questions from the press or the public or public comment?
To the Forest Service, the Tourism Board also sent out a letter. You can go actually on the Forest Service website. It's like fs.usda.gov/project/question-project=816632 or something. I almost can see it in my head because I did it a couple times. But you can go online. I've done it a couple times. And I've had to send it out a couple times. But you can just go online and do it right online. You can either attach a letter that way or you can actually write comments in there. So.
All right, well, it looks like March 21st, and it'll be the city's turn, and so happy Fat Tuesday.
Rice Krispies for dinner, for breakfast.
Hey, we don't care, just as long as you're here. So I think that's it. I have a wonderful day.
We're seeing that the animal shelter is looking for some extra help. Maybe you guys would like to chip in on that, huh?
I see.